Woody Allen.
This is my third night here. I haven't been here in about 8 months now, was the last time I was here. And since I was here last, a lot of significant things have occurred in my private life that I thought we could go over tonight and evaluate. I moved. Let me start right at the very beginning. I formerly lived in Manhattan, uptown east in a brownstone building, but I was constantly getting mugged and assaulted and sadistically beaten about the face and neck. So I moved into a doorman apartment house on Park Avenue that's rich and secure and expensive and great, and I lived there for 2 weeks, and my doorman attacked me. I don't know what else is happening. Oh, I know, I became a corporation since I was here the last time. Last year I had difficulty with my income tax. I tried to take my analyst off as a business deduction, you know. The government said that it was entertainment, you know. We compromised finally and made it a religious contribution. You know? And I formed the corporation this year and I'm the president. My mother's vice president, and my father's secretary, and my grandmother's treasurer. My uncle's on the board of directors. And they got together the first week, and they tried to squeeze me out. I phoned a power block with my uncle, and he sent my grandmother to jail. I went to NYU myself. I was a philo major there, too. I took all the abstract philosophy courses in college, like truth and beauty and advanced truth and beauty and intermediate truth and introduction to God and death 101. College. And I was thrown out of NYU my freshman year. I cheated on my metaphysics final. College. And I looked within the soul of the boy sitting next to me. They threw me out, and my mother, who is a really sensitive woman, when I was thrown out of college, she locked herself in the bathroom and took an overdose of Mahjong tiles. I was in analysis. You should know that about me. I was in group analysis when I was younger, because I couldn't afford private. I was captain of the latent paranoid softball team. We used to play all the neurotics on Sunday morning, you know? Nail biters against the bedwetters. And if you've never seen neurotics play softball, it's really funny. I used to steal second base and feel guilty and go back. Also, I have a cousin that my parents loved more than me that really destroyed me. I have a boy cousin that went through 4 years of college and became a mutual fund salesman. And he married a very thin girl from the neighborhood who had her nose lifted by a golf pro. You know? Hit it and it just hooked up over her head. And they moved to the suburbs and they have all kinds of status symbols. They have their own home and a station wagon and fire insurance and life insurance and mutual funds, and his wife has orgasmic insurance, which is if her husband fails to satisfy her sexually, Mutual of Omaha has to pay her every month. I don't know what else to tell you about myself. I was a writer and an actor. I was a television writer, and I was not an actor. I was in acting class. We did a play in acting class by Paddy Chayefsky called Gideon, and I played the part of God in Gideon. It was typecasting. And it was method acting, so 2 weeks beforehand, I started to live the part off stage, you know? I really came on godly. I was really fabulous. I put on a blue suit suddenly, you know? I took taxi cabs all over New York.
I tipped big. Because he would have.
I got into a fight with a guy and I forgave him. It's true, some guy hit my fender.
And I said unto him,
I said, be fruitful and multiply.
But not in those words.
My love's eyes are softer than sun glow, lit like a rainbow. My love lies in my eyes. She shines like the starlight, faster than midnight. My love flies when she sends her thoughts to amaze me. I am afraid she understands. In my hands she rides like a river. All I can give her she commands. To please her I would surely try to tear the ceiling from the sky. This love of mine is all I own, for without her I am alone. If she leaves I cry like the weather, yet love forever I receive. She relieves the pain from within me. She needn't win me, I believe. And in her hands a golden ring, for I would give her everything. This life that I possess to give, for without her I do not live.
Welcome to episode 30 of A Complete Abridged Record Collection, the radio show slash internet broadcast slash internet podcast where I, your host, David Barclay, play one song from every record in my record collection. And that was quite a record indeed. It's a soundtrack from a movie called Hot Parts, a movie I've never seen, but for a while in my life, around the years, let's say 2004, 2003, plus or minus a couple years on there, I was really obsessed with the band The Left Banke that had the hit Walk Away Renee. And they only had two albums, but afterwards they formed a band called Montage that had one album. But I found out they also had songs on a little soundtrack called Hot Parts. So I sought out that soundtrack for a long time, and in 2005 I went on a kind of spontaneous trip to Los Angeles to visit my brother, right before Christmas. I don't really know why, but I just did it, and one of the things we did was go to this record store called Record Surplus on Pico, right near the 405 and the 10. And it's an incredible store. I've talked about it many times. And my first time ever there, looking through the soundtracks, and they have Hot Parts soundtrack LP still sealed for like $5. It was incredible. My mind was blown. Sadly, all the songs on the Hot Parts soundtrack are already released on other albums, so there was no actual new music. I was pretty disappointed. But still, the excitement remains of the find, the quest. And it was a pretty fun vacation, too. Let me tell you that. And before that, we listened to a double LP of Woody Allen. I think it's just called Stand Up. Yeah. Stand Up comic. Four-sided. That's got to be good. And, of course, that means we're in the comedy slash soundtrack section of my record collection. I think there's also some sort of novelty records in here, too. And compilations. So, yeah, it should be sort of a painful ride from now on, at least for the next couple of shows. This next one here is from my soundtrack collection. Now, I've already played a couple of soundtracks, and I think most of them have been about movies based in Greece, and this is no exception. This is the soundtrack from a movie called Never on Sunday, directed by Jules Jassin. I think probably from the 60s, early 60s maybe. And it's about a prostitute, but it's not really that sexy. It's about civilization and a prostitute. So that should be enough to sell you on it. And the music here is by Manos Hadjidakis. And we're going to listen to a song called Taki. This is a movie I saw during the phase of wanting to watch movies about Greece. Of course, I've already played some fake music from Zorba the Greek, the Broadway musical, in episode 29. Not Zorba the Greek, the movie. Zorba the Greek, the Broadway musical. It stinks. And I played music from the movie Zed, as I say, which has some amazing rock tracks on it. It's one of those movies in the 60s where like a composer was like, I need to write some rock tracks. And so it has rock tracks that feature like wind chimes and stuff. We know what I say, more wind chimes. But here is a more traditional Greek song. Of course, according to my biased opinion, Taki by Manos Hadjidakis from the Never on Sunday soundtrack.
Thank you. matin l'ignore. Le nom que j'ai dit à la nuit et qu'au vent de l'aube sans bruit, comme une larme, il s'évapore. Je veux que le jour le proclame, l'amour qu'au matin j'ai caché. Et si mon cœur ouvert penché comme un grain d'encens, il enflamme. Je veux que le couchant l'oublie, le secret que j'ai dit au jour. Et l'emporte avec mon amour. Au pli de sa robe pâlie.
That is a song by Fauré, the French art song composer, leader in art song record here, with a singer called Arthur Tennant. And the reason I have this record, and the reason it's in the novelty section / compilations, I apologize to people who love real music. Sorry, I classify this as novelty. But I always wanted to do a cover album of Art Song. And so I saw this one day. I was like, oh, it's like a best of Art Song LP in the 99 cent bin. And I picked it up thinking it would inspire me to finally complete one of those projects, like in a weekend recording 12, you know, shitty covers of Art Song. But I never did. So maybe I will in the future. Who knows? Hopefully. Got to keep on believing in yourself. Before that, we listened to Never on Sunday, talked about the film a little bit, but coming up next is the actual Zorba the Greek soundtrack. Yeah, I have 4 Greek movie soundtracks in my record collection. This music is by Mikis Theodorakis, who's the same guy who did the music for Zed, and one of my favorite movies of all time. That's why I have this record. I love that movie. I think I bought this record at Record City, San Diego, down on 6th Avenue. And, you know, perfect 99-cent record. Amazing movie. I've watched it more times than I can remember. My favorite movie of all time, most likely. So here we go. The wonderful Anthony Quinn starting it off. And a song called Life Goes On. Ugh, what a movie. What a message. Enjoy.
Are you married?
Am I not a man? And is not a man stupid? I'm a man. So, I'm married. Wife, children, house, everything. The full catastrophe.
ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Boston. I have a request tonight. Usually I don't do request numbers, unless, of course, I have been asked to do so. This is a request from a lady. I sincerely hope. She's an elderly lady. She's an old lady, I might as well face it. As a matter of fact, she's dead now, but... It's from her son. He and I grew up together. We haven't seen each other for approximately 7 years. Neither have I. But he asked me if I would do a routine I used to do when we were little boys and girls. Well, we didn't know the difference anyhow, because it's very small. As a matter of fact, he still doesn't. Well, he asked me if I would do that routine, so with your permission, or maybe entirely without it, I am going to do that routine right now. Unfortunately, he called up and said that he couldn't be here tonight for this concert, so now I actually don't have to do that routine. Which, of course, takes care of that. So, now I'm going to do something else. By the way, we are going to have an intermission pretty soon. Don't you like intermissions? Oh, I love them. Smoke, cigarette, walk around in the lobby, meet friends, and so on and so on. We're going to have an intermission of about an hour and a half tonight. So that we really can get acquainted. So for my fourth and last number, I'm going to play excerpts from Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto, number two, that is, by Rachmaninoff, of course, who also wrote the music for this concerto. This is a piano concerto for piano and concerto, and was originally written for approximately 95-piece symphony orchestra. Due to circumstances beyond my control, we seem to be approximately 95 pieces short. But you won't notice the difference because I play it very fast. This concerto was written in four flats because Rachmaninoff had to move four times while he wrote it. And of course I play excerpts. I don't know the whole thing. That's the Steinway people have asked me to announce that this is a Baldwin piano. Pardon me for sitting down while I play. Pardon my back. Pardon my front. But that's the way I'm built. Speaking of pianos, many people have asked me why there are three pedals in these grand pianos. Well, the pedal in the middle is there to separate the two other pedals. Which might be bad news for people with 3 feet. Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto. When you hear this. That is the introduction. Then when you hear this. That is the main theme. Then when you hear this. There's definitely something wrong because that's Tchaikovsky.
Amazing band there, Skinned Teen, from a split 12-inch they did with another band that rules my world called Raoul. The reason I bought this record was because I made this mixtape when I was in the 6th or 7th grade that featured Raoul's cover of Summer Lovin', which is actually on a 7-inch, not on this 12-inch, but I didn't know that. Anyways, I made this highly influential mixtape that, you know, I listened to over and over again until the magnetic material wore thin. And years went by, and I knew this record existed because on the sleeves of other Lookout records, this is in the pre-internet era when you, to find out about other records on labels, you had to basically look in a catalog, or you could look on the sleeve of the record, it had all the other records or highlights of some of the other releases. And I saw this Raoul 12-inch, I was like, I've got to get that. And I thought that over and over again for a long time, like 5 to 10 years, until I finally found it. And I was really stoked. And the best part is that the Skinned Teen side is also amazing. You might say even better, because I've played the Skinned Teen side instead of the Raoul side. And, yeah, amazing band. I once also, in the post-internet era, got into, I used them in controversial statements saying that Eraserata, Skinned Teen ripoff. Yeah. I know it's not true. I just was being controversial. Because that's what the internet's for. And before that, we listened to the always funny, the hilarious Victor Borg. And you probably know him from KBBS, or no, sorry, what NPR television, what's that called? Public television, PBS. Specials. You know, he was doing the specials. The old people love it, but I think he's pretty funny too. That's a classic 99-cent dollar bin record to find. Not sure where I got it, but I did get it in San Diego because I remember after getting it, listening to it with about 3 other friends, maybe Siobhan and Alan, maybe, and I think they didn't think it was that funny, but I think it's hilarious. And that's all that really matters, because this is a show all about me, my life, The show where I play songs and remember what I did and remember why I bought these records and, you know, what I thought of them and what I think of them now. And what I will think in the future when I listen back. Coming up next, another comedy record. Yeah, that's right. I kind of went through a comedy record stage around the same time as that Victor Borge record. I also just started buying random comedy records from the dollar bin. And this is on Verve Records, so it's got to be good, right? The guy is Shelley Berman, and he has an inside record and an outside record. We're going to listen to the first track on the second side, totally titleless, Inside Shelley Berman.
I discovered this afternoon why I don't like buttermilk. Now, I'm going to get into that because, first of all, I'm not the kind of a guy who forms a snap judgment about some white, innocent fluid. And again, it seems to me that people who do like buttermilk love buttermilk beyond anything in existence. They have a thing over buttermilk, which I won't go into detail about. It's a little pornographic. I've seen people drinking buttermilk in a way that makes me feel that I just shouldn't be watching. So naturally, I thought about this for a couple of years, and you can imagine how desperate a man has to be to think about buttermilk, you know, for a prolonged period. Anything over 10 minutes has got to be paranoid, you know. Anyway, this afternoon, for some inexplicable reason, I saw the light. I had a revelation. I'll tell you what I had. I had a satori. That's for those of you who believe in Zen. And I have a feeling the room is loaded with Zen people tonight. I'll tell you what Zen is. Zen is a kind of philosophical, metaphysical thought thing. You have it so far? It's a kind of offshoot of Buddhism in which, through concentration, you arrive at certain levels of existence, and you are capable of answering certain very tricky questions. One of the questions is this. You know the sound of two hands clapping, but what is the sound of one hand clapping? Well, I know that sound. I've heard it frequently enough, God knows, and I'm not going to dwell on it because I'll cry, and a comedian, you know, she'll be jolly. Anyway, I was telling you about buttermilk, why I don't like it. I found out today, and I'm going to tell it to you. It is not the buttermilk that bothers me. It's the way the glass looks when you're through drinking it that makes me sick. That ugly white map inside of that glass. 2 more seconds and I'll throw up. I know it. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to this catharsis. It was something I had to get off my chest. I'm glad you were here to hear it. Now, because you were kind, before going into our next thing, before I will reward you. I will reward you all with a little game. This is a little game that you can play with yourself, sort of thing. The game is called Nostalgics. There are words or groups of words, the mention of which or the seeing of them in print recalls for me an area of my existence which has been sweet and warm and quietly thrilling, like returning to the womb. And let's face it, we all want to go back, you know. How many of us sleep in a fetal position? You know, let's fess up. Anyway, I want to get off the subject because it is disgusting, and I'd like to talk about something else. I'll tell you about nostalgia. Here's a few examples. For example, the word skate key sets me into a frenzy of remembering, or the phrase, I will trade you a Batman for a Captain Marvel, which, of course, appeals only to the intellectuals. But let's see what this does for you. Go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
It's the moonlight. Tell me it's the June night that makes me love you. Oh, there's a sigh for Paris in the spring, but I'll take moonlight, Yukon and you. From Carcross all the way to Dawson, the river is so awesome, on the stars above you. My love, I've been all around this world, but I'll take moonlight, Yukon and you.
Tundra that tears my heart asunder whenever I'm near you. Us turns to sugar and spice when I've got moonlight, the Yukon and you. It's the June night that makes me love you. Oh, there's a sign for Paris in the spring, but I'll take moonlight, Yukon and you.
Great little song there from 1984 and an album, a compilation album called Alaska Hit Singles. The song is Moonlight, Yukon, and You by Buck Evans and Jim Richards. This is a cool compilation of just people in Alaska recorded a lot of songs at home in the 70s and early 80s and somehow all got together and put this sweet little gatefold LP out, and it's got a lot of really cool sort of, you know, outsider music, and which has never been celebrated, and never been successful, unfortunately for them, but, you know, nice little compilation. And before that, listen to the determinately unfunny Shelley Berman, I think in this modern age. I apologize to my mom, who, when I bought that record, was visiting me. And I remember my mom and her friend Karen listened to Shelley Berman. They thought it was pretty funny. They reminisced about him being funny. And on second listen, not that funny. I mean, especially compared to Victor Bork. And Woody Allen, remember earlier in the show? Pretty funny stuff there. Well, moving on. Here's a compilation for the ages. This is a compilation of one song. The greatest song of all time. A song to live your life by. And we're going to listen to a version of that song by a band called the Rice University Marching Owl Band. It's, of course, Louie Louie.
Take my hand, Barbara Ann, Barbara Ann. Take my hand, you got me rockin' and rollin'.
That's the Regents there with Barbara Ann. And this, I made a mistake. I'm just totally going to admit it here. Why would I play that song from this record? This record is the Fonz favorites. Fonzy favorites. And sure, the Fonz like that song. Yeah, that makes sense to me. But why would I choose that song to play when I could play something a lot more interesting? Of course, I am not the Fonz. Yeah, this Fonz record features a song about the Fonz, first of all, and it also features this really amazing track called The Impressionist Track. So yeah, I don't know when the birth of hip-hop was to the year, but this record is from 1976, and that is a pretty clear, amazing samplage of the Fonz over and over again, abusively sampled, saying, hey, sit on it, nerd, etc., on that impressionist track from the Fonzie's favorite records. Pretty amazing. Also, the back of this record folds out so that the record itself is like a picture frame, and you can just look at a picture of the Fonz, because that's all the cover is, just a picture of the Fonz. You could like put it on your dresser or next to your mirror, your vanity, whatnot. That record I bought a long, long time ago, and as you could also probably hear, horrible quality pressing. Horrible. You could barely hear the song. So, yeah, I don't know why I would bother you with those details, but that's something that I guess I care about. Before that, amazingly enough, we listened to Peanut Butter Wolf, I Will Always Love H.E.R., and from the Stone's Throw compilation, Turntables by the Bay. I've always had a love affair for Peanut Butter Wolf and his amazing fanzine, Jank, although that's supposedly put out by someone else. The Captain Funkahoe, I don't know if they're the one and the same person. There's the mystique, there's the craziness behind it all, but you know, pretty amazing stuff. I like this. I like the abuse of sampling in that. And before that, we listened to, of course, Louie Louie by the Rice University Owl Marching Band, and that is from The Best of Louie Louie Volume 1. I also have The Best of Louie Louie Volume 2. I don't know why it's not next to Volume 1 in the record collection, but I haven't played it yet, so in some future episode of this show, I will play it, because I'm forced to play one song from every record in my record collection, and that's why I'm forced to play this next one. Speaking of comedy records that my mom thinks is hilarious, this is The Goon Show doing China Story and the McCreaky Rising of 74. Yeah, this is a little bit, this is more a cultural thing than a comedy record. If you can follow along, you might get some laughs in there. If you're lost by the accents, I apologize. But think of it as like a cultural experience.
This is the BBC Home Service. And jolly good programs they put on, too.
Oh, isn't he a lovely talker?
Can you? Could you say some more, Mr. Pling?
Why, certainly. This is Wallace Greenslade saying, winds light to variable. Oh, Greenslade, how can they afford you?
Because 12 shillings a week is nothing to the highly esteemed Goon Show! Thank you, listeners. Next dance, please. Mr. Greenslade, loosen that plastic sporran and make me an infant.
Listeners and listeners, we present an ancient Chinese play translated from an old Greek soup recipe found engraved on the seat of a dustman's trousers in East Acton. The trousers can now be inspected in the Science Museum internal combustion section. This play was especially written for the wireless.
Wireless, curse! This means the end of the horned phonograph and the little doggy that looks into it. Exits left.
Hello, you there. Oh, boy, get this. We give you, and how, one hot story of all hometown.
Strange people, the Chinese. There are over 500 million of them. My name is Nettie Siegel. Then my char lady calls me Ducks. Due to a certain disease I have. I'm well known in China and voted best dressed man of 1904 in 1955. Yeah. It was Christmas night on the waterfront of Shanghai. Still, it had to come sometime. Yes. As I walked the crowded streets, people seemed to know I was British. Was it my bearing? The cut of my dentures? Or was it the 8-foot floodlit Union Jack tied round my head? I'll never know.
Yikes, tally-ho, nutty. Have a noodle.
The words came from a two-legged, grey-headed man going bald at the knees. He was bent backwards, eating a plate of unchopped suey from a leopard-skin bladder. With a wave of his foot, he beckoned me over.
He ignored my invitation, but then I said something that had him at my side. My name.
My name is Ned Siegel.
Have a noodle.
Thank you. You, called me over?
Yes.
What do you want?
Well, you have a kind face.
You can't have it. It's a fixture.
Fixture, eh? My, you are lumbered.
Have a care, sir. I'm not a man to be laughed at.
I know. I've seen your act. The singing shaver, isn't it?
I have my dark secrets.
Man, so do I.
Silence, Ellington, or I'll have the whitewash brush to you.
Well said, Neddy. Oh, Neddy, this gentleman here is Count Moriarty, French overland saxophone champion.
Je suis très content d'avoir fait votre connaissance et j'espère que nous serons ensemble pour longtemps.
So, the pen of your aunt is in the garden, eh? You're a stranger in China, eh, lad?
Stranger? I came here as a boy.
I didn't think you came here as a girl. Oh, I don't know, though. You Chinese are damn clever people.
I'll have you know I'm English.
English? But that ragged kilt and your toes sticking out the end of your feet.
In my position, that's no shame.
You're not?
Yes, the British ambassador.
Reminding you to help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered about that.
Dance, JR's wearing hot pants.
Ten a dilemma.
Ten a dilemma. The Waltons look pop part. Is that Reagan sounding smart?
And ten a dilemma.
Ten a dilemma.
And ten a
dilemma.
And ten a dilemma.
And ten a dilemma. Batman's drinking from a water hose.
Antenna dilemma.
Antenna dilemma. The kids from famed I have an overdose.
Antenna dilemma.
Antenna dilemma.
Antenna
dilemma.
Antenna dilemma.
Antenna dilemma.
dilemma. Watch my son go. I've got no vertical hold.
Antenna dilemma.
Antenna dilemma.
Antenna
dilemma.
Antenna dilemma.
Antenna dilemma. I've got 60 minutes to live.
Antenna dilemma.
Antenna dilemma. I'm losing my
Well, finishing off here, episode 30 of A Complete Abridged Record Collection, a little band called Terminal Sunglasses from Montreal, 1983 to 1985, and a song called Antenna Dilemma from the It Came From Canada Volume 1 compilation. And expect three more volumes of that compilation, because I bought them all at the same time from Cheap Thrills Records on the day I wrote my last university exam. And thank you for listening. Thank you for enjoying my memories with me of my life and the music that made up its soundtrack. Good night.